Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 22nd chapter, Prithu Maharaj's meeting with the Kumars. Chapter 23, Maharaj Prithu's going back home after he met with the Kumaras. So this was text 17. We're in the middle of the action, so we'll go back and bring up to speed. We'll look at chant 17 verse. Indriyeshu manasani tanmatreshu yatudbhavam. Bhutadina Muni
Utkritsya
Mahati Atmani
Sandadhe
Indriyeshu Manastani Tanmatreshu Yathodbhavam Bhutadina Munyutkritsya. Not Krishna, it's Krishya. It's really hard to do that. You're used to the Krishna, but it's Krishya. Mahatyatmani Sandade Indriyeshu Manastani Tanmatreshu Yatodbhavam Bhutadina Munyutkritsya Mahatyatmani Sandade. Ladies. Mahatyatmani Sandade. You don't want to give it a try?
I don't want
to. Okay, that's all right. You don't have to.
This is the first time I've come here on Saturday.
Huh?
This is the first time I've come here for on Saturday.
It's okay. Indriyeshu.
Indriyeshu.
In the sense organs.
In the sense organs.
Manaha.
Manaha.
The mind.
The mind.
Tani.
The sense organs.
Tatmatreshu. In the objects of the senses. Yatha udbhavam.
Where from they generated.
Bhuta adina. By the five elements. Amuni.
All those sense objects.
Utkritsya.
Vipurijya, taking out, Mahati, in the Mahat Tattva, Atmani, unto the ego, Sandadhe, amalgamated. Translation. He, this is Maharaj Prithvi, he amalgamated the mind with the senses and the senses with the sense objects according to their respective positions. And he also amalgamated the material ego with the total material energy, Mahat Tattva. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In respect to the ego, the total material energy is sundered in two parts. One agitated by the mode of ignorance, and the other agitated by the modes of passion and goodness. Due to agitation by the mode of ignorance, the five gross elements are created. Due to agitation by the mode of passion, the mind is created. And due to agitation by the mode of goodness, false egoism or identification with matter is created. The mind is protected by a particular type of demigod. Sometimes the mind, manaha, is also understood to have a controlling deity or demigod. In this way, the total mind, namely the material mind controlled by material demigods, was amalgamated with the senses. The senses, in turn, were amalgamated with the sense objects. The sense objects are form, taste, smells, sounds, etc. Sound is the ultimate source of the sense objects. The mind was attracted by the senses, and the senses by the sense objects, and all of them were ultimately amalgamated in the sky. The creation is so arranged that cause and effect follow one after the other. The merging process involves amalgamating the effects with the original cause. Since the ultimate cause in the material world is Mahat Tattva, everything was gradually wound up and amalgamated with the Mahat Tattva. This may be compared to Shunyavad or Vortism, but this is the process for cleansing the real spiritual mind or consciousness. When the mind is completely washed of all material contamination, the pure consciousness acts. The sound vibration from the spiritual sky can automatically cleanse all material contaminations as confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. We need only take the advice of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant the Hare Krishna mantra to cleanse the mind of all material contamination, and this may be considered the summary of this difficult verse. As soon as the whole material contamination is washed away by this process of chanting, all desires and reactions to material activities become immediately vanquished and real life, peaceful existence begins. In this age of Kali, it is very difficult to adopt the yogic process mentioned in this verse. Unless one is very expert in such yoga, the best course is to adopt the ways and means of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Thus one can gloriously become freed from all material contamination by the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just as life in this material world has its beginning in material sound, similarly, a spiritual life has its beginning in this spiritual sound vibration. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiki Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Sunyavari Paschacharye Satarane Om Gyanam Timaram Dasya Gananjana Shulakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bheva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishyebhyo Namo Namaha. So this title, this chapter title, Maharaj Prithu is going back to Godhead. So here is describing a yogic process of going, of leaving the body, actually. Deliberately. So technically it's suicide, but it's not, it's done in such a way that you can achieve liberation. It's through the process, in different places it's called chakra yoga. There's six chakras, or kundalini yoga, you've heard about it. But I think the people that practice it today can't do this.
They'll meditate.
But this is described also in the second canto, leaving the body in this way, and by which one attains a higher destination. And so here Maharaj Prithu takes his way. And so I'll just go back and read the verses here. In due course of time, when Prithu Maharaj was to give up his body, he fixed his mind firmly upon the lotus feet of Krishna, and thus completely situated on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, the liberated platform, he gave up the material body. So of course this is possible, this is important because the time of death is when everything is tested and one should actually die in full consciousness, and not just full consciousness but in Krishna consciousness. That's the goal of devotees, because people don't know the importance of death, try to ignore it until it actually happens. Most people prefer to leave their body drugged out of their minds and so they don't even know what's happening. This is not the way to go. This is the way. Because Prabhupada says, whatever spiritual progress one makes in life will be tested at the time of death. That's the final exam of our spiritual progress. So this is the yogic process of leaving the body, which is described in these verses. Here, one picks a time to leave the body, so that in fact they're in good health and in sound mind, and you can also pick auspicious times and so on like that. So this is part of the point of this process. And it continues, when Maharaj Prithu practiced the particular yogic sitting process, he blocked the door of his anus with his ankles. In the other place it says the heel. Pressed his right and left calves and gradually raised his light air upwards, passing it on to the circle of his navel, up to the heart and throat, and finally pushed it upward to the central position between his two eyebrows. So this is by pranayama. There is this prana, that the chakras are actually circles of this vital air. And at the base of the spine, there's this chakra where they're all kind of represented as coiled together, the life air. So you raise it up. because it's air, you have to block the evacuating outlet so the air doesn't go up. You also have to control it so it doesn't go out of your ears. And so then you raise it up. And so through these chakras, so it mentions here from the navel and then to the heart chakra and the throat and then the palate in between the eyes. You know, the air is coming up. The soul is usually resides in the heart chakra. So at this point, the soul also goes up like this. Now, Prabhupada says here, the aim of this particular system of asana, known as the sitting posture for liberation or muktasana, is to attain success in Kundalini chakra and gradually raise the life from the Muladhara chakra to the Svadhisthana chakra, then to the Manipura chakra, then to the Anarata chakra, the Vishuddha chakra, and finally to the Ajna chakra, which is between the two eyebrows. Then you go further, and here there's a little microscopic hole called the Brahmarandra. In a little baby, that soft spot is there, and when the bones of the skull finally meet together, there's still a little hole. And then the life air leaves out this hole, and the soul with it, and go where your consciousness is directing. That's what happens. Now, Prabhupada mentions here, those who are in Krishna consciousness, who are practicing bhakti yoga, can return to Godhead without even practicing the muktasana process. Because there's another way of coming to the Brahma-Bhuta platform and leaving the body while remembering Krishna. So this kind of mechanical process is not necessary. So Prabhupada says, consequently, a devotee need not feel sorry for not having practiced the Kundalini chakra or not penetrating the six chakras one after another. As far as Maharaj Prithu was concerned, he had already practiced this process. And since he did not want to wait for the time when his death would occur naturally, he took advantage of the chakra penetration process and thus gave up the body according to his own free will and immediately entered the spiritual sky. So he didn't need it either, but at this point he decided he was finished with his activities on earth. Didn't want to hang around anymore. And since he knew this from before, he used it. In this way, Prithu Maharaj gradually raised his air of life up to the hole in his skull, his Brahmarandra, whereupon he lost all desire for material existence. Gradually, he merged the air of life with the totality of air, his body, that the part of it is made of earth, with the totality of earth, and the fire within his body with the totality of fire. Text before today. In this way, according to the different positions of the various parts of the body, Prithu Maharaj merged the holes of his senses with the sky, his bodily liquids such as blood and various secretions with the totality of water, and he merged the earth with the water with the fire with the air with the sky, and so on. Then today's verse, he amalgamated the mind with the senses and the senses with the sense objects according to their respective position. And he also amalgamated the material ego with the total material energy, Mahatattva. So what is basically being described is the yogi, by a kind of meditation process, reverses the process of creation for himself individually. because the process of creation is described in the third canto of Bhagavatam by Kapila Deva and in other places. Prabhupada's account in this purport is a little confusing because it's different somewhat, so I don't know what where this actually comes from. But the origin, there's an energy of Krishna, which is the total material energy, which is called here Mahatattva. Sometimes it's called Pradhana. And when there's no creation, this energy lies kind of curled up in the body of Mahavishnu. And then when creation takes place, this energy comes out and differentiates. So the first thing there is this primordial, undifferentiated material energy. Yet it's the cause, and it's got everything in it, kind of in seed form or in potential form. And then this energy is activated by the Lord's glance, the time energy, which is a kind of mixing. Until the Lord looks at it, it's inert. But when he glances at it, then it starts to evolve. And it evolves from subtle to gross. So because the whole creation is made for the living entities, the first element that really appears is false ego, which is the subtlest of the material energies. And then the false ego appears in goodness and passion and ignorance, the three modes of nature. And then, for example, false ego in the mode of ignorance then undergoes a further transformation, and the gross material elements appear. And the first one is space. You see, it's the subtlest of the gross elements. It's just empty space. But space is associated with the sense object, sound vibration. So actually, first sound appears, and then with that sound, there's space. And then the Lord glances at it again, and it undergoes a further evolution. And from sound and space together, there proceeds something else, which is air. Space is just empty space, except it's not really empty, but there's air. Is that right? Air comes next, right? And air has also the ability, has a sense object of sound in it, the object of the sense of hearing, and also the object of the sense of touch. Like if something is hot or cold, or rough or smooth, or all those objects that are associated with air. Then there's another evolution, and then there's radiant energy of fire. And fire has those other two, sound and tactile objects, and then also illumination, form, and color. So you're going from the more subtle to the grosser. Subtle means less apparent to our senses. So space we can't perceive at all. We know it's there because there's room, distance, but we can't perceive it. Air is a little, we can feel it when it's blowing, we can feel air. Fire is more, you can see things and our visual senses is working. And then from there is water. And water carries flavors or tastes. And then finally, earth grows this element, which also has odors. So those are the five elements, and then there's the five sense objects. Then we have our five knowledge-acquiring senses. The sense for seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling. Hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, smelling. This is, So basically, anyway, they come out in a particular way. So basically what Krishna is doing is he's taking the elements in his body, and somehow by relinquishing his attachment to them, they become merged into the total elements, and then he winds that up, reverses the process. The Prabhupada compares this to sunyavada or voidism. It looks like you become nothing. Now, this doesn't affect the soul, this is all on the material level. But all the diversity in the world kind of merges into this unified Mahatattva again. Now what happens, this is going on somehow internally, I have no idea how you do this by meditation. And you have to be able to raise. What happens is when the soul gets to the heart chakra, you see that there's the air is moving through various channels. They're called nadis. And from the heart chakra, there's like 108 nadis. 101 nadis. It's in the Chandogya Upanishad. And there's one of them that's called the Sushumna. And this channel goes up to here. And so you have to be able to discriminate and get the right one and go up to the Sushumna. It's interesting also that the Sushumna is also a cosmological feature. There's a Sushumna in the cosmos too. So this is a. I said people think this stuff. It's a science, but if people don't know how to do it. They say it's some crazy superstition or something like that. But this is actually science by which people could leave the body. What happens at that time when the soul goes out? The body bursts into flame. It ignites. So much heat is generated by this process. The body, which is mostly water, nevertheless burns up. And we'll see Prithvi's body will catch on fire when he leaves. Also, that's how Sati left her body. She used this method when her husband Shiva was being insulted by her father. This was her protest. She sat down like this and went to there and burst into flames. we see this with Prithu. We see it with Dhritarashtra. When Vidura, in his old age, took Dhritarashtra and educated him, and Dhritarashtra left his body. He was sitting in a hut, and the hut burned down too because of this self-generated fire. So, just one thing, when talking about this, I'd like to mention, the fact is that there is a medical mystery, which is death by spontaneous combustion. This is documented, it happens. Nobody knows how. And people would deny it altogether, but there's so many cases of it. I read a big Sunday supplement news article about it once in a magazine. You look it up, it was on the internet, you can find all kinds of instances. They're very mysterious. Now, there's no indication that these people are practicing any kind of yoga, but maybe some strange combination of astrological configuration and some other things may have precipitated this. But this is people die like this. There's one account of a woman in a hotel on Miami Beach. They discovered, fire alarms came, and when they came in, she'd been sitting at the table, the breakfast table or something, and just the area where she was sitting and the floor around her, I mean, everything in her whole body was gone except for one foot. It was burned up. And it was very confined fire, but the silverware on the table had melted from the heat. It was so hot. And so there are cases like this. And what really made it famous was Charles Dickens put it in a novel. He had one character who died this way. I think it's Great Expectations. No, not Great Expectations. Bleak House. A character died this way. Spontaneous combustion. Dickens made him an alcoholic, so he thought that would aid the combustion. I don't think that's anything to do with it, but anyway, he died like it. It's a wonderful description of this greasy smoke. but then in the second edition, Dickens wrote a preface defending this, because people had objected to this improbabilistic thing, so he cited them. And this was in the 19th century, so many instances of death by spontaneous combustion in defense of this character. So just so, anyway, that's... We do have these cases here in the Bhagavatam of people when the yogis who leave their body deliberately this way, the body burns up, as we will see with Prithu. Your body will ignite. So, Prabhupada is here wants to stress, however, that of course now we are under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya's given us another method, this method of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So that mantra is spiritually potent. It purifies the heart of dirty things. It destroys the false ego in the course of time. It brings one, even if it's not chanted purely, even if it's chanted as namabhasa, not quite pure chanting, still it destroys all your karma, your past karma, and material attachments and material desires. And one is controlled by Krishna, so a devotee doesn't really have to worry about the coming of death in the sense that Krishna will also take care of the devotee to see that. See that if a devotee is sincere and serious, Krishna will make all arrangements that the devotee can leave the body at an appropriate time and place and circumstance and so on. So Prabhupada said this in the age of Kali, to do this yoga process correctly is very, very difficult. Most people who are now practicing yoga are not really doing it properly. So one the means is Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And in this way, Prabhupada ends this verse, he said, this purport, he says, just as life in this material world has its beginning in material sound, because that really starts from sound, the whole material world is created. So similarly, he's saying, by spiritual sound, one returns to spiritual life and to the eternal life, also by sound. This is an aphorism in the Vedanta Sutra, misunderstood in this way. that by sound one goes back. One chants. But it's spiritual sound. We also deal with sound, but with this, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Spiritual sound means several things. One is that it doesn't really come from the material world. It descends. So the Hare Krishna Mantra is actually an avatar of the Lord in the form of sound. He can descend and appear as if he is a material element, like the deities. He appears as if he's stone or wood or metal. He's not. But still he can appear that way. He's spirit, but he can take matter, turn it into spirit. So he also appears as the form of sound. It's called Shabda Brahman, spirit in the form of sound. And so, if one associates with that sound, then one becomes purified. And Krishna is the supreme pure. And we come into contact with Krishna, we will become purified. So this is the first effect of chanting Hare Krishna. We should see Cheta Darpana Marjana, the dirty things in the heart or the mind are cleaned out. It's just like a cleanser. We have a really dirty pot. We need to have some potent cleanser. And this mantra is the cleanser, this sound, goes to work in the mind and the heart. And Mr. Clean, whatever, cleans it all. The first problem is most people don't want to be cleaned. They like their dirt. They're in love with their dirt. They can't tell the difference. They think this dirt is gold. They have no idea. So they like it. But actually, it's the cause of all suffering. They think if I just have enough sex, if I just have enough drugs, if I just have enough money, I'll be happy. But those desires are dirt, and they cause suffering. So a person is not really eligible for spiritual life. So they say, well, this is the wrong stuff. It's just the opposite. These things that everybody's running after for happiness, that's the cause of misery. But then that dirt is in our minds and hearts, and it controls us. We're controlled by it. We're impelled, just like these people who decide they want to give up smoking cigarettes. Okay, I recognize it's bad. It's bad for my health. It makes my mouth taste bad. I hate it anyway. It costs a fortune. I want to give it up. But it's not so easy because they're controlled. First, they did it so they could do what they wanted. People said, don't do that, but I want it anyway. You're 15 years old and an idiot. I want to do it anyway. I want to be free, right? And so you just become bound like this. And we have a problem. So you need something powerful to counteract these things in the heart, these unwanted things. And that's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It cleanses if you really want to become free, if people want it, want it badly enough, then they can take to this process of chanting. It's very, very powerful. We have such a powerful and easy process because Krishna's merciful. And we're not equipped like people like Prithu Maharaj to do these very difficult things. I mean, Prithu Maharaj and these yogis who do this, they're like Olympic athletes or something. So this is beyond us. So he gives us something that's very, very powerful and very easy to do. a world which will achieve the same results. So those people in earlier ages who tried and failed, and they take birth in this age and take advantage of the powerful process of Krishna consciousness. Let me just read a little bit what it says here. Just to give you an idea of another account of this leaving the body in this way. Because it's good that we know, even though we don't practice it, it's good to know about it because it explains what's going on in the Bhagavatam. And one can also understand that here in the Bhagavatam, from the Vedas, is a scientific account of the universe. And the people who knew that science could use it for this particular process. So we can, this is described here in many cases. Okay, so here it goes. This is 2.2.19. I'll start this description. By the strength of scientific knowledge, whatever this word began is there, it means practical application. By the strength of scientific knowledge, one should be well situated in absolute realization and thus be able to extinguish all material desires. One should then give up the material body by blocking the air hole, which the stool is evacuated, with the heel of one's foot, and by lifting the life air from one place to another in the six primary places. Those are the chakra, the sat chakra, six chakras. The meditative devotee should slowly push up the life air from the navel to the heart, from there to the chest, from there to the root of the palate. He should search out the proper places with intelligence. Thereafter, the bhakti yogi should push the life air up between the eyebrows, and then blocking the seven outlets of the life air. He should maintain his aim for going back home, back to Godhead. If he is completely free from all desires for material enjoyment, he should then reach the cerebral holes and give up his material connections, having gone to the Supreme. So that's described. Then he says, however, if a yogi maintains a desire for improved material enjoyments, like transference to the topmost planet Brahmaloka, or the achievement of the eightfold perfections, travel in outer space with the Vaihyasas, or a situation one of the millions of planets, he has to take away with him the materially molded mind and senses. So you may be a deaf yogi, but if you're still not free from material desires, if you leave this way, you will go to higher planets and stay there for some time. And then the text goes on to describe what happens to you. Because you still have some place to go before you achieve liberation. If you do this, not necessarily you'll go back to Godhead. If there's some desire for material enjoyment, then you can go somewhere else. Prabhupada somewhere says, he mentions here, in the upper status of the planetary systems, there are facilities thousands and thousands of times greater for material enjoyment than in the lower planetary system. they have like ostasiddhis, all the yogi perfections of becoming small, very tiny and very light, you can float anywhere. You can get anything you want from any place. You can become very heavy. You can create or annihilate something at will, so on. Assume any shape. All these different powers are there. So you can fly in outer space without a spaceship. It's mentioned here that my highest exists with that too. So if you really want to do that, you can get these different potencies like that. Anyway, it goes on and describes these things. So Prabhupada said sometimes people are like tourists. They want to visit all these places. Just go there and have a good time. So you may go back home. You may not go back home right away. But you don't come, at least, you don't come down to earth again. Gradually you can go up. Yeah, so these are interesting descriptions here. Prabhupada says, controlling the life air by the prescribed yogic process is mechanical, and the practice is more or less a physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. In the olden days, such a practice was very common for the transcendentalists, but for the mode of life and character in those days were favorable. But in modern days, when the influence of Kali Yuga is so disturbing, practically everyone is untrained in this art of bodily exercise. Concentration of the mind is more easily attained in these days by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The results are more effective than those derived from the inner exercise of the life air. So notice he says concentration of the mind. People are practicing yoga and they don't know even what it's for. They think it's to lose weight. So on. But this is the real process. It's so you can quiet down the body and concentrate the mind. And this is for a spiritual process. Okay, yeah. Any questions?
Is there any, I need to talk about the people who want to go to certain planets other than leaving their body through other holes, like through their nose or something like that.
Yeah, what?
Like the people like leaving their body through their nose or something other than through the top of their head.
So usually if you go leave through the top of the head, then you go to the higher planets.
But what happens to your
head? Leave through your mouth, and then typically you become, again, take birth on earth. Or as a human being. And if you leave through your anus, you go down to the lower planets, like Elvis Presley. Because he died, it says, while straining at stool. He was taking he was a pill head, and these pills kept him from passing stool, so he was trying to pass stool, straining, and he had a heart attack. People frequently died this way. And so then, that's when you would leave your body that way. Or maybe when people leave during sex and so on.
You talk about yoga, which pretty much means union. So basically you're talking about separation from the union between your body and your soul, that kind of thing?
Well, union with the Supreme, which to be united with God ultimately means to be disunited with matter. You can be united with spirit, spirit means to be disconnected with matter. So yoga also involves a disconnection in that sense, at the same time. Connected with Krishna and not connected with anything that interferes with your connection with Krishna. we're not connected with meat eating, not connected with cigarettes and alcohol and so on. So some disconnection also. Okay?
I'm sorry, which books do you use it?
Huh? This is the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay.
Yeah, this is this. There's many volumes of this book. We have it in our bookstore. If you come on Sunday, you can see the volumes. There are so many amazing things in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's just incredible. Yeah, you can read this your whole life and never.
Is it like an explanation of the Vedas or Bhagavad Gita?
The Bhagavad Gita is like the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
It's the preparation. It's the introductory book. And then after Bhagavad Gita is the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay.
So it's where the Bhagavad Gita leaves off, Srimad Bhagavatam begins.
I always wonder, what do you do after this?
Yeah, and then there's many more. There's no end to it. Okay, we have to greet the deities now. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
You do this every Sunday?
When I'm in town, we do it.